Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The old proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, is exactly right. However, it's important that that first step is headed in the right direction, and that the first step is followed by a second and all the way through for the 1,000 miles. And along the journey are some events that take us sideways, and we can get misdirected and maybe lose our way, all the while headed, though, ultimately, by that inner compass of a hunger in our heart for God, that God created within us a desire for Him and a desire to be in a right relationship with each other. And that is given by the desire to be on a journey of love and a journey of faith. And so it was, as Jacob shared, that as the worshipers from around Israel were on their way to the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of the Tabernacles, for a special season of worship in Jerusalem, they would call out one of these 15 Psalms of Ascent. They would sing like Psalm 121 on their journey. And the first two verses would be sung by a person. They'd be highlighting the very character of God, of what we can count on about God. And the next six verses would be people would be highlighting, and this is what I fear, and I'm naming my hurt, and naming my concern, and giving it to God in whom I can account. And it was like a song and response that we've had earlier this morning in our responsive reading. And that's how our conversation with God goes, isn't it? Like call out and a response, and hearing Him, then getting strength and going forward. So in Psalm 121, it is, I look unto the hills from where comes my help. And looking means that we're looking at a direction beyond where we are. We're looking at life beyond just us. We're looking for that God kind of direction in our life. And depending on how you translate it, it could be red mountains, like if in the hill country of Texas, where you know many of us are from, we could call those mountains, and people in the Rocky Mountains would say, are you kidding? Those don't even qualify as foothills up in the Rockies. So you can translate it either way, but it is a sense of to the high place. The high place of El Elyon, the high place of God, that we know that we're not going to be worshiping a foreign God, we're not going to be worshiping idols that some people did up on the high places. But we're headed 4,000 feet up in the altitude of Jerusalem. We're headed to the temple, and we're with God now, and He is with us, and we call it out, and that He is shaping us. And you notice this kind of journey is we have our eyes wide open. We're praying with our eyes open, much like when you're driving on 410, 1604, or 281. You've got your eyes open, don't you? You're praying, but your eyes are open just to make sure that you don't cause a mishap along the way. And there's seasons of life, and we are just eyes wide open. But we're praying. We're in this inner communion with God, and He's giving us that connecting spirit from El Elyon, the place on high, taking us forward. And we get shaped along the way. Maybe some of you tuned in to the NBA Annual Awards this past Monday, and you saw that our long-term San Antonio Spurs assistant coach, Mike Budenholzer, and Mike and his wife had been here a couple of years ago for a special worship experience at Trinity. And as Mike was receiving his award as Coach of the Year, now with the Milwaukee Bucks, he was so humble in his response. He was laying out a list of people who had shaped him along the way. His family, being one of seven children, his coaches in Arizona, the journey that he had made and influence here in San Antonio. And all along the way, he'd laid out how he had been shaped, and that the award wasn't about him, but it was about the team, the players, the organization, but a way of saying thank you to everyone. And so in our journey, our Godward journey, our journey in which we are looking unto the hills from whence cometh our help, we're making it clear that we know that our help comes from God. And that help from God is the shaping force within our life. So as we step into this promise of Psalm 121, we see first that we are to walk. We're to walk life as a faith journey by trusting God's character and care. The very nature of God is to be trusted with. And as we do trust in God, then we find the renewing power happening in our hearts. We are renewed and refreshed as we moved into our hymn just a moment ago as Jacob was on in front of the communion table. He's saying that this is where we're being called together in God's presence. You could feel the renewing touching our hearts. We'd been opened and worshiped earlier in what had been shared, and then our hearts are being bowed into his presence. And then as you feel that renewing in your heart, go with it. Don't back off from it. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. Don't say it's here now and gone later. Just lean into it and let God do his shaping force through the renewal. And that's why in the verse 2 of Psalm 121, the psalmist laid out, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Two times in this psalm, Ezer, that's the Hebrew word for help, is highlighted. And it's highlighted as this is a theme. And it's highlighted in other psalms and other sections of the scripture about my help comes from the Lord. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, of whom we're going to be leaning into the presence and the teaching, the promises of the Holy Spirit in July and August, was identified by Jesus as being the helper. The sense of the help of God who is with us. Now, my help comes from what? It doesn't come from an addiction to money and materialism. It doesn't come from an addiction of entertainment. It doesn't come from the addiction of an abusive relationship. It doesn't come from the addiction of having a power position over someone else. It doesn't come from the addiction of a chemical substance. It doesn't come from the addiction of you name it. It comes from the Lord. All those other addictions will only anesthetize us. They'll only try to numb our nerves. They'll only try to numb the pain that we're feeling in our life. But they don't transform us. What transforms us is that the creator of the maker of heaven and earth. What a powerful phrase. What a statement of who God is, the maker of heaven and earth. Early Christians would place this in the Apostles' Creed. We find it in other sections of the Psalms. It was first spoken by the great priest Melchizedek in Genesis 14, that when Abraham was on his journey to what is now Jerusalem, and Melchizedek was serving there, he went to get a blessing. And upon that blessing, Melchizedek said, the God on high, El Elyon, the maker of heaven and earth, gives you the blessing of his presence and the blessing of his promise. That's who comes to give you your blessing. And in response was the first example of the tithe in Scripture. As a response, and Abraham gave a tithe unto the Lord, and that place, Shalom, would become known as the city of peace of Jerusalem. So there's a powerful heritage, not only for the psalmist singing the psalm on the way to the worship of Psalm 121, but for us in our day, in mid-year of 2019, in our day right now where we are, that God has us fully awake, right? I mean, 3:15 this morning, if you weren't already awake, you got awakened by the thunder and the lights of the sounding of the lightning. I happened to be up kind of praying about this day and praying for you and the services before us, and a wham! And I said, Lord, thank you for answering my prayer, you know. And then there was an echo effect. There were cars down Agarita Avenue that started sounding off with their alarms. It's going crazy because of how the lightning and thunder had awakened them to be on guard. Hey, something's happening. Something's going here. And then the dogs go crazy. I mean, it's just everybody's wondering, what's going on? That's kind of being alert to life, being aware. And so we're aware that we're headed in a great journey and that God is with us. He is the maker of you by name and maker of heaven and the earth. And in that is his great promise. So I came across this quote. It was a quote written on chalk on a sidewalk. And basically it says, now, one day, you'll be able to tell your story of what you're going through right now, and it will be the roadmap of survival, be the guide for someone else's survival, meaning that what you're going through right now, trusting God, living it out, that God will create from your life success that doesn't feel like a success right now because the answer is getting formed inside you. The solutions are coming in the promises right now, but it will come together in such a way that you will be that promised person to help others to be at that place. And this is as we're headed towards the future, trusting in God to be able to trust the future. We're all headed in a future direction, by being able to say our updates with God today. Do you trust the future because you trust God, the maker of heaven and earth? Secondly, as we're making this journey, as we're on the way, we give God our fears by understanding, by being able to name them, and being able to give them to God. So give God your fears by understanding who you are and what your situation is in light of God. So the psalm opens up with a declaration of who God is, and then the next verses are saying, okay, yeah, really, is that right? Well, here's what's going on for me. And then they're saying, well, it's really true, that God is the God that I can name my fears, give them to Him. He reshapes me, and He causes those fears to diminish in size, to dwindle in number, all of a sudden to come into clear perspective as you think about your future, allowing God to give shape to what's causing you pause as you relax in Him by just naming it and giving it to Him. And so what did they say? They said, well, He will not let your foot slip. If you're on the journey and you're walking along, you're afraid that you might fall. And if you fall, you could break a hip, or you could break an arm, you could bruise yourself, you could twist your ankle, it'd be hard to make the rest of that journey on up to Jerusalem. And so we have our eyes wide open, we're watching, and that He helps to keep our feet sure. Or, and Paul would say it is, that He shods our feet. He gives us the footwear of our feet in the gospel of peace. And then the Lord watches over us. He watches over us that He has care, and you are in His attention radar. Not only just for Him to observe, but to be able to give you shade and comfort. So again, the imagery of Psalm 121, as so many of the Psalms, is so rich and powerful, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, the Lord will be the shade at your right hand. Now, we Texans like to have good shade, right? I was, once as a family, we made our journey down to the Grand Canyon, and before the sun came up, and our goal was to get out alive before the sun went down. And there was one stretch of the coming up, the ascent after the descent, where the goal was simply to get to the next shady spot. And just sit for a moment and catch our breath. And the shady spot may be nothing more than a 6-inch plant, but it sure felt like shade. The sense of just trusting the journey on those tough, hot stretches of life and letting ourselves catch our breath, not to stay there, but to catch our breath and to continue on with that journey. Now, there's the other kind of shade that we may fear, like Psalm 23:4, I walk through the valley of what? The shadow of death, which will try then to cause me fear, but I won't fear because I trust the rod and the staff. So the shade of the Lord, the shadow of God's presence, is what gives us His coolness and comfort as we make our journey then through life. And so it is that God moves through as you name out what it is that is your concern, and place it into His hands. And then thirdly, we serve as God's witness. We serve as God's witness in our troubled world. And that a gift that you give to others is being able to model Psalm 121, being able to take your life and let it shine, to let your life be this kind of living witness unto to God's great purpose, and be able to see you most clearly. Perrin Lowry was a wonderful leader in the life of a church in Kansas City, and his grandfather was going off to war, and he was leaving the home place, and he was riding a horse. And as he left the home place riding a horse, he was reading from Psalm 121. He was reading the passage that we're focused on today, and as he was doing it, the rest of the family could hear him say, the Lord is the maker of heaven and earth, and the Lord will watch over me, the coming now and forevermore. And they gave them an assurance during the war. It gave him peace in the war. And then when he returned, he dedicated his life to be a person of peace and created a college of peace there in a changed region. And Psalm 121 was guiding along the way. You're really living life with the confidence, aren't you, that the Lord is watching over you? He is shining over you? So as we see again verse 8 of Psalm 121, know that this is your promise. Let's say it together. The Lord will watch over you, your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. The going and coming is like when you wake up in the morning and you go out for the day. You come back in the evening, you're going and you're coming. There's a term for this. It's called a merism. It means like as north is to south, as east is to west, as Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So it is that in the going and the coming, in all of life, the stretch is covered. That there's no part of the journey where God's presence doesn't want to watch over you and give you comfort and peace. Now, if you or I kind of rebel and we lose our way, then he'll come back and he'll remind us, or maybe painfully, but remind us of that journey. But if we know that we're looking for him, that's the key, isn't it? When Rachel lived, our daughter lived in New York City, and she was going to do a one-act show off Broadway. And so, of course, I flew up as a dad to be supportive. And the day of rehearsals, she needed a magenta color marker. Great, I'll find it. So she said, these are three stores that should have a magenta color marker. So I hop in my cab and I go. And, you know, I didn't know what magenta was. I didn't know what the shade of the color was. And so I'd go in and they were trying to explain it to me. And then I didn't know why she needed a magenta color marker. I just was on a mission, not knowing what the color was or what the purpose of how it was going to be used. And so finally I had to call her back and I said, I can't figure this thing out with the people who owns the store. What we're going to do with this, can you tell me? And she explained, said, oh yeah, there's some key lines I'm going to write on my hand here to kind of remind me in the show. Oh, okay. Well, it made all the difference. Was able to find the right marker and get in the car, and that was on me that I didn't ask about purpose, and I didn't ask about what's this shade that I'm looking for. So in your life journey, the Lord is making it clear that our purpose is to live unto his delightful love for us and in his care. And that from your talents given to him, your love life given to him, the urges of your soul given to him, and letting him shape them with this great force, and then letting him speak to the fears in your heart and overcome them by his shade, his shadow, his helping presence, then you feel that courage in going forward. Was the strength that we have in the life of Trinity Baptist Church and changing age and time, and that we have that courage of God empowering us with the Spirit as a people. And so The Beacon, a major publication of San Antonio this month, in the month of July, will have a feature story on Trinity Baptist Church and the kind of a caring family of innovation, doing ministry and to the cares of people by the power of God, telling a story. Taking this kind of steeple with the city skyscrapers in the background and overlooking that as a high place of our steeple with God's presence shining a hope upon a city because of the people. That's our calling. And in that we find our joy and our purpose. Delta Gillum is, with her permission, I can say, she's one of our members who's in her 90s, and she is vibrant, and right now she's in Methodist Hospital being cared for, and I was visiting with her yesterday, and I was calling out Psalm 121 with her, and she says, I have a lot of favorite passages in the Bible, but that's one of my favorites, to know that he is with me. And in that, she faithfully lives the purpose of what it means to be on this journey of following Jesus Christ, one step at a time, headed Godward, empowered by his presence.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.